And now a hard luck story. Like some other small towns across the Great Plains, Pitcher, Oklahoma is dying. But Pitcher hasn't gone without a fight. The mining town in the northeast corner of the state has hung on through labor unrest, economic collapse, and horrible pollution. Still, within the next 2 years, a federal buyout will likely finish the town. Some call it a mercy killing, but as KCUR's Frank Morris reports, some people view it as more of an execution.
Barren, gray heaps of mining waste. Everybody here calls them chat piles. Hem Pitcher, Oklahoma into a grim, man-made valley. Rusty mining towers and ancient-looking concrete columns evoke a bygone era. Rotten old buildings neighbor empty lots. Much of the vitality here is preserved in the memories of people like Orville Hoppy Ray, a spry, mischievous 81-year-old who runs the Pastime Pool Hall and Mining Museum, one of the last open businesses in this town.
The 30s was the real Wild West type deal.
As storied mining crews look on from dozens of yellowed old pictures, Hoppy reminisces about the days when 25,000 people crammed into this town. Even though the ore here was some of the poorest on earth, Pitcher's miners blasted and hand-shoveled enough of it to lead the nation in lead and zinc production. At the height of Prohibition, he says, the fights and drinking here went on almost around the clock.
Well, we had 22 bars here, and they had a city ordinance that the bar had to close at 6 o'clock and not reopen till 9 in the morning so they could clean up.
But as they nearly always do, the mines played out. When John F. Kennedy campaigned here in 1960, it was against the backdrop of economic desperation. Later, water flooded the abandoned shafts and dumped acid and heavy metals into the streams. The creeks ran orange and stank. In 1983, the EPA ranked the Pitcher area the country's most hazardous Superfund site, worse than Love Canal. Pitcher still had its chat piles, fun for climbing, sledding, picnics, and keg parties, and the town rallied, as it had for decades, around its churches and schools. But even here, inside the cheery little elementary school, lifelong resident and now principal Kimberly Pace began to notice another problem.
In 1980, as a special educator, I could not figure out what was the matter, what was different, because it just didn't seem to stick. But never having a clue or any thought that it could be based upon these chat piles. The chat piles have always been our friends.
Turned out that the chat piles were laced with lead, and blood tests showed alarmingly high levels of lead in about a quarter of the kids here. Three-quarters of the elementary school students were reading below grade level. The EPA launched a massive remediation effort in 1996, spending more than $150 million. Nearly 2 years ago, Oklahoma offered families with children under six a chance to sell and get out. Standing in the vacant lot where her house used to be, Vicki Phillips says her family reluctantly took the buyout.
We loved it here. See, this house down here is Mom and Dad's, right down there on the corner, see. We didn't want to move. This was home, you know, and everybody knows everybody, and we're all happy here.
The massive remediation, coupled with education programs, worked, lowering lead levels. The creeks improved on their own over time. Federal money surging into the town paid for a new water tower, a new city hall, and for paving all the roads. But just when it looked like Pitcher might recover, there was something else.
You can stand here and listen to the material falling into the collapse. You can see the water ripple.
Ed Cahilly watches as rocks and dirt tumble down the steep slopes of a collapsed mine shaft into sickly green water. This hole is 200 feet deep, 400 feet wide and growing. It's one of 70 big cave-ins in the area. Last year, the Army Corps of Engineers warned that about a third of Pitcher could suffer the same fate. Cahilly, a local boy who went on to manage the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory before returning to the area to raise cattle, says it was that report that sealed Pitcher's fate.
Pitcher is over. We can't hang on to the Pitcher that we all knew. It's gone.
We got the closets all cleaned out and in boxes, really. We found things we didn't know we had.
Lifelong residents Tom and Charlotte Crawford are packing up their home of 43 years. They expect to get an offer in the mail from the federal government any day now. Congress has already funded nearly half the $40 million necessary to move the last 1,200 people out of Pitcher. While it's called a voluntary buyout, that's not how the Crawfords see it.
They say it's not a mandatory buyout, but it really is, because if you were the only one or a few that didn't sell out, you'd be left high and dry here, and no chance of getting any equity out of what you own.
Of course, some who've clung to this town through the relentless economic pounding and environmental catastrophes are not all that pragmatic.
No, I'm not leaving. I think it's for the birds.
Hoppy Ray worked alongside his father down in the mines, and he's lived over them almost all his life. He plans to keep his house and his pool hall in Pitcher, even as the town he loves withers around him. Pitcher's very last bar closed for good last night.
Hey, Mr. Bartender, how can you be so slow? I've got time for one more round and a six-pack to go.
For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris.
Oh, tomorrow morning, Sunday, and I'll be feeling mighty low. Hey, hey, bartender, I got a six-pack to go.